This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
So picture this. It's March 31st, 2026. We're inside this massive, sprawling manufacturing plant just outside of Shanghai.
Okay, setting the scene. I like it.
Yeah, the air is just humming with the sound of automated machinery, and right at the end of this really long conveyor belt, a humanoid robot just rolls off the line. It's called the Expedition A3.
And, you know, if you were just standing there looking at it, it would seem completely unremarkable. Just an identical copy of the hundreds of other sleek metallic frames they produced that exact same day.
Right. But this specific unit receives a special designation. A worker attaches a serial number to it, and that number is 10,000. In Chinese manufacturing, they actually have a term for this specific moment.
Yeah, they call it zixian, meaning stepping off the line. It's that exact second a product leaves the factory and, well, enters the real world.
Which is such a cinematic way to frame it. But here is the detail that really highlights the sheer scale of what we're talking about today. It took this company just 3 months to go from producing their 5,000th unit to their 10,000th.
I mean, 3 months is a blink of an eye in hardware. For decades, building a humanoid robot was this, like, bespoke artisanal process. You'd have a team of PhDs spending years engineering a single unit in a lab.
Exactly. And now we're talking about thousands of units just pouring off an assembly line every financial quarter. And the company that built it is only 3 years old. So welcome to the deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
Today, our mission is to explore how the humanoid robot went from being this million-dollar lab experiment to a mass-produced consumer product, essentially overnight. We're pulling all our data and insights today from a really deeply researched set of source materials provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim, which maps out this massive shift in global manufacturing.
Yeah, and to really understand this explosion in production, we have to look past the usual sci-fi tropes of, you know, Terminators taking over the world. We need to look at the actual production numbers, the dramatic collapse in hardware costs, and this secret auto industry war brewing just beneath the surface.
Because the economics of this are changing way faster than anyone predicted. So let's start with the sheer volume, because the numbers coming out of that Shanghai factory are just staggering. The company making that 10,000th robot is called Agibot.
Right, Agibot. And according to data from the research firm Omdia back in 2025, Agibot shipped 5,168 humanoid units.
Wow.
Yeah, that single company accounted for 39% of the entire global market, which was only about 13,000 units that year.
Almost 40% of the whole market.
Exactly. And we really need to put that number into perspective to see the disparity here. Think about the heavyweights in the U.S. Tesla with their Optimus program, Figure AI, Agility Robotics. These are the companies dominating the headlines and the venture capital funding.
But how many did they actually ship?
In 2025, they shipped roughly 150 units each. I mean, Tesla hasn't even sold Optimus externally yet. It's heavily constrained to just internal testing.
So you have a three-year-old startup in China outproducing the top three U.S. robotics companies combined by a massive multiple. That is wild. I want to look at the leadership behind Agibot because I think it explains how they scaled so fast. It's basically a two-man operation at the top. You have Deng Taihua, a former VP at Huawei who handles all the capital, the supply chains, the business side of things.
Yeah, and on the other side, you have Peng Ziwei. He is a fascinating figure. He came out of Huawei's famous Genius Boy program, which recruits, you know, top-tier engineering talent. But he's also a major tech influencer online with millions of followers.
Wait, really? A tech influencer is running the robotics engineering?
Yeah. He handles the technology, and his philosophy completely flips the traditional hardware model. He doesn't see a humanoid robot as a finished, closed product. He sees it as a platform, a computer with legs.
Okay, let's unpack this. A computer with legs. So instead of, say, Apple's walled garden where everything is locked down and proprietary, he's treating the robot more like a Linux operating system.
That's exactly it. Agibot open sources parts of the hardware and software so developers anywhere in the world can just download an algorithm, load it onto the robot, and have it run right out of the box.
That definitely accelerates things. But Agibot isn't the only one pushing crazy volume. There's another company called Unitree. This was founded by a young engineer named Wang Xingseng with a registered capital of just 100,000 RMB.
Which is about 14,000 US dollars. So basically nothing in the hardware world.
Right. But fast forward to 2025, and Unitree generated almost 1.7 billion RMB in revenue.
The revenue is impressive, sure, but the margins are what really stand out to me. In the robotics industry, burning through cash is just the default state. hardware is incredibly expensive to iterate. But Unitree operates with a gross margin of over 60%. They're actually profitable.
Hold on, let me do the math on that. You're telling me a startup with 14 grand in seed money is pulling a 60% profit margin on complex robotics? I mean, there are legacy automakers that barely scratch a 10% margin. How are they pulling that off? Are they just slapping cheap plastic over off-the-shelf motors?
No, they achieved it by doing something completely unthinkable in February of 2025. Unitree listed a medium-sized humanoid robot called the G1 on JD.com, which is a major e-commerce site. You could literally just click add to cart.
You could just order a humanoid robot online like a toaster.
Yeah, the price was 99,000 RMB, about $14,000. And they promised a 45-day delivery window. Before the G1, a full-sized industrial humanoid cost upwards of $100,000, sometimes double that. Unitree basically slashed the price floor by 90% overnight.
But is it actually a capable machine for 14 grand? I mean, that's the price of a used Honda Civic?
It is actually very capable. It has up to 43 degrees of freedom.
Let's define that for a second, just so we don't lose anyone.
Sure. Think of a degree of freedom as a single point of independent motion. A human arm has about 7 body. Your shoulder can pitch, roll, and yaw. Your elbow bends, your wrist rotates, and so on. To have 43 across a robotic body means this machine has near human-level articulation. It can twist, bend, and react to unpredictable impacts.
So it's not just some stiff, shuffling mannequin.
Not at all. At the World Robot Conference, they put the G1 in a boxing ring. They showed it taking punches, falling to the mat, and getting back up entirely on its own. They proved it's not a delicate glass jaw piece of lab equipment. It's a rugged tool.
A rugged humanoid you can order online. This sounds exactly like what happened with smartphones. We are seeing the BIMM drop curve in real time, the bill of materials curve. When you only manufacture 100 units of something, the price of the individual parts is astronomical.
Right, because everything is custom made.
But when you hit 10,000 units, the price halves. You hit 1 million, it drops by 80%. They're standardizing the motors, localizing the supply chains, and just letting the sheer scale of production drive the component costs into the ground. But, and this is a massive question, if they're making tens of thousands of robots and they are this cheap, where are they actually going? You don't buy a $14,000 robot just to sit in your living room. Are they building cars right now?
Well, what's fascinating here is if you read the fine print in their financial filings, the cracks in the narrative start to show. When Unitree filed for their IPO, their own prospectus revealed that nearly 74% of their humanoid sales went to universities and academic researchers.
74%? So they aren't even on the factory floor?
No, the vast majority are not. Only about 9% went to actual industry. And even within that tiny slice, they were mostly used for things like greeting guests in lobbies or giving facility tours.
Wow. Okay, so they're basically being used as cheap test beds for coding, not for heavy labor.
Exactly. Plus, we really have to look at the geopolitical baggage attached to this hardware. U.S. think tanks and lawmakers have proposed legislation like the GUARD Act and the Humanoid Robot Act, which aim to ban the import of these specific robots.
Right, citing allegations that some of the funding ties back to the Chinese military.
Yeah, and impartially speaking, whether you agree with the legislation or not, it shows a reality where the hardware is dirt cheap and plentiful, but the actual industrial application is incredibly low, and the geopolitical landscape is highly fraught.
So we have cheap test beds for students, but that leaves a massive vacuum on the actual factory floor, right? Because universities aren't building cars. Someone has to be doing the heavy, grueling manufacturing labor.
And that brings us to a completely different corporate strategy. Enter a company called UbiTech. They were the first humanoid company to IPO in Hong Kong, and they are taking the exact opposite approach of Unitree. They aren't trying to sell cheap robots on the internet. They're selling an industrial unit called the Walker S2, which costs nearly 299,000 RMB.
So about 3 times the price of the Unitree G1.
Easily. And they're deploying them in some of the most unforgiving environments on Earth. Let's look at the Geely Auto Factory. It is 42 degrees Celsius in there. That's over 107 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's brutal. Humans struggle to endure entire shifts in that kind of heat.
Oh, absolutely. But the Walker S2 is in there 24/7, doing precision assembly and carrying heavy auto parts. And the autonomy is what's really impressive. When its battery drops below a certain threshold, it doesn't alert a human operator to plug it in. It walks over to a station, swaps its own battery out in just 3 minutes, and gets right back to the assembly line.
The sources also mentioned they aren't just working in isolation either. They are hooked into something called BrainNet. How does that actually function on a crowded factory floor?
BrainNet is basically a swarm intelligence architecture. Because factories don't just want one robot, they want a synchronized workforce. With BrainNet, a cloud-based superbrain analyzes the factory's real-time production needs and divides up the tasks. It beams those instructions to the individual robots on the floor.
So the robots are just executing the physical movements.
Right. They act as the cerebellums. They communicate with each other continuously to avoid collisions, dynamically reroute around obstacles, and just coordinate their workflows autonomously.
Okay, so UbiTech has actually cracked the industrial use case. If they are selling robots at 3 times the price of the competition and deeply integrating them into auto plants, they must be highly profitable.
Well, there's a massive catch. UbiTech is bleeding capital at an astonishing rate.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because they are customizing these high-end robots for highly specific, complex factory lines, their research and development costs are astronomical. Custom integration just doesn't scale easily. They've posted cumulative losses of over 5 billion RMB over the last 5 years.
5 billion RMB in losses. So UbiTech is fighting this incredibly expensive war to integrate into factories. But meanwhile, back in the labs and universities, there is a totally different war happening. It's a literal race to the bottom on price.
It is. The Chinese term for it is Neruan, or involution. It essentially describes a system spiraling inward, a cutthroat state of competition where everyone suffers just to survive.
And here's where it gets really interesting. We talked about Unitree hitting $14,000, but a startup called Engine AI just launched their SA01 robot for about $5,400.
Yeah, reading the specs, this isn't just a toy. They use neural networks to train its walking gait. So instead of walking with bent knees like you see on the older Boston Dynamics robots, which they do to maintain a lower center of gravity, the SA01 walks naturally upright, swinging its torso like a human.
And then you have Limex Dynamics launching the Tron 2 for around $6,800. This machine physically transforms. It can walk on 2 legs, it can roll around on wheels, or it can detach its legs entirely and mount to a table to act as a robotic arm.
Which is incredible flexibility for that price.
But let's be realistic here. Selling a complex robotic system for $5,400 sounds like corporate suicide. That barely covers the cost of the raw metal, batteries, and sensors. They have to be losing money on every single unit. Are they just racing to zero to go out of business? It feels like they are handing out cheap Android phones just to lock people into the Google Play Store.
That is the perfect analogy, honestly.
Yes.
It is entirely about ecosystem lock-in. If you are a PhD student at Oxford or Stanford and your lab buys a $5,400 Engine AI robot, you are going to build your entire artificial intelligence algorithm on their API.
An API being the application programming interface, basically the language the developer uses to command the machine.
Precisely.
Mm.
And once you learn that specific language and build your life's work on it, you don't want to start over. When that PhD student graduates and starts a robotics company, they aren't going to switch to a different hardware platform. They're going to keep buying from the ecosystem they already know. These startups are heavily subsidizing the hardware today to capture the software ecosystem of tomorrow.
But as you suspected, it's an incredibly dangerous game. The involution, burning cash to starve the competition.
It's gotten so severe that China's National Development and Reform Commission, the NDRC, has actually publicly warned the industry about overcapacity. You have all these startups heavily reliant on government subsidies, bleeding to death by selling ultra-cheap hardware without any real sustainable industrial demand to back it up.
Let's summarize the board then. We have the custom factory robots from UbiTech that are too expensive and complex to scale quickly. And we have the ultra-cheap robots from Engine AI and Limex that are basically stuck in university labs. But what if the ultimate buyer, the automaker themselves, looks at this mess and decides to just bypass the robotic startups entirely and build the machines themselves?
This brings us to the hidden auto wars. And to understand the stakes here, we have to look closely at the data provided by former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim. The auto giants are realizing that relying on third-party startups for their future workforce is a massive strategic vulnerability.
We see this with XPeng. Their CEO, He Xiaopeng, literally took over their internal robotics division himself. He's building a massive facility the size of 20 football fields to mass-produce their own robot called Iron. And the computing power on this thing is absurd. It's powered by chips that can handle 3,000 TOPS.
We should probably clarify what TOPS means in this context.
Good call. It stands for trillions of operations per second. For context, the neural engine in a high-end smartphone today, the chip that processes your 4K video and facial recognition, might run at roughly 30 or 40 TOPS. XPeng is putting a 3,000 TOPS supercomputer inside a walking chassis.
It's a staggering amount of compute.
And it's not just XPeng. NIO and Geely are dumping hundreds of millions of dollars into startups like Limex and Robot Era. The motivation here is pretty clear. While automakers have successfully automated the heavy, repetitive tasks like welding and painting the car bodies, 80% of final car assembly, like running the delicate wiring harnesses, installing the seats, snapping the dashboard together, is still entirely manual labor.
Because humanoids fit perfectly into assembly spaces that were originally built for human bodies, they want to achieve the dark factory.
The dark factory.
Yeah, the dark factory concept is the holy grail of manufacturing. Imagine a fully automated facility that runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And because there are no human workers inside, they don't need climate control.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even need lights. It's just silent machines building machines in complete darkness.
That is both amazing and slightly terrifying. But the most significant development in this race, the climax of the data we are reviewing today, comes from BYD.
The largest electric vehicle manufacturer in the world.
Right. In May 2026, BYD revealed a project they had been keeping secret since 2022. It was codenamed Yao Shunyu, named after ancient mythological kings. They currently have 4,000 researchers quietly building humanoids entirely in-house.
4,000 researchers just on the humanoid project?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the startups we discussed earlier barely have 400 total employees.
BYD is operating on a totally different magnitude. And they aren't trying to sell these robots to other companies. Their immediate plan is to deploy 20,000 of these robots into their own automotive factories by the end of 2026.
Wait, let's connect the dots here. You just told me that building custom factory lines resulted in a 5 billion RMB loss for UBTech. So how is BYD going to deploy 20,000 robots without instantly bankrupting themselves in R&D and integration costs?
Because BYD is fundamentally different. They are the ultimate vertically integrated company. They build their own batteries, their own chips, their own software, and their own cars. When they build the robot, they are building it specifically for an assembly line they already design and completely control.
Ah, so it's the exact same playbook Tesla used for its full self-driving software.
Exactly. Tesla put millions of cars on public roads to harvest billions of miles of driving data to train their AI. BYD is going to put 20,000 robots into their own highly complex, chaotic factory environments to harvest physical, real-world manipulation data. They are using their own factories as a massive, closed-loop data farm to train the physical AI of these robots.
They completely bypass the cold start problem. They don't have to wait for external customers to buy the robots and hopefully send the performance data back to the lab. They are their own biggest customer.
Right. And according to the sources, their end game goes way beyond the factory floor. Once these robots are perfected in the assembly lines, BYD plans to sell consumer versions directly to the public through their existing global network of 4S car dealerships. They already have the showrooms, the financing arms, the repair centers, the logistics network.
They solved the biggest hurdle of consumer robotics distribution and maintenance on day one.
Exactly. But if BYD is unilaterally replacing human labor at this record speed, how is the rest of the industry responding? What about a legacy player like Hyundai? They own Boston Dynamics. They have the Atlas robot, which has been doing parkour on the internet for years.
Well, the source material highlights a stark structural contrast here. Hyundai did announce plans to roll out 25,000 Boston Dynamics Atlas robots into their automotive factories. But the moment they announced it, they hit a wall.
A wall?
Yeah, the powerful metal workers union stepped in and effectively blocked them from deploying any humanoids onto the factory floor without a negotiated labor agreement.
So the technology is ready, the capital is there, but the deployment is completely stalled by structural friction.
Right. And we have to look at the structural differences impartially. BYD operates within a massive, state-backed, union-free ecosystem. When their leadership decides to deploy 20,000 robots to collect training data, they simply do it. That gives them a staggering data advantage. They're harvesting real-world physical interactions at an exponential rate, while competitors in other countries are slowed down by labor negotiations, fragmented supply chains, and regulatory hurdles. The gap in AI training data could become insurmountable very quickly.
So, what does this all mean for you and me? We started this deep dive looking at a single humanoid rolling off a line in Shanghai. But what we've uncovered is a complete reshaping of the industrial world. The humanoid has shattered the $14,000 price floor.
The hardware is rapidly becoming a cheap commodity. And while a lot of those ultra-cheap robots are just walking around university labs right now, auto giants like BYD are brute-forcing the future.
Right. They are turning their own factories into massive AI training grounds to build a robotic workforce at a scale we have never seen before.
So, to you listening, the humanoid robot revolution isn't going to look like a blockbuster movie with shiny androids dropping from the sky. It's going to be much more subtle and much more profound for your daily life. It's going to look like a $5,400 gadget arriving in the mail for a college student, or a silent, unlit auto factory churning out your next electric vehicle without a single human inside.
The infrastructure is already being built.
It is. And this raises an important question, something for you to mull over after we wrap up today. We spend a lot of time debating software monopolies. We worry about who controls the search engines, the social networks, the large language models.
Yeah.
But what happens when the ultimate monopoly isn't digital, but physical? What happens when a single automaker, operating completely vertically integrated, secures a monopoly on real-world physical labor data before the tech giants even finish writing their code?
A monopoly on how things actually get built in the physical world, that changes everything. Thank you all for joining us on this deep dive.
Thank you for listening.
Next time you see a viral video of a robot online, just remember, somewhere in a factory, Unit 10001 is already stepping off the line. We'll catch you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.